We're continuing our readings in Matthew. We're looking at everything that Jesus said and did. And today we're in Matthew 12, verses 1 to 14. And we're going to be looking at that if you have a Bible with you. But I just want to set the scene, first of all. Remember the Bible is not written in chapters and verses. That all came later. So there's a continuity to what goes on. And last week, Dave was talking to us about the end of chapter 11. And Jesus there is saying, I'm glad that God has not taken the wise and the intelligent and so on, but rather has made his gospel for little children. And what he's doing there is he's actually looking at the Pharisees in saying that. And he goes on, and he's looking at his disciples as well. And he goes on and he has that wonderful verse that Dave shared with us and talked to us about. Come unto me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And he goes on and says, take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, you will find rest for your souls. So, first of all, I just want to talk about that word yoke. The yoke that he's referring to was the yoke that the Pharisees put on the people. Elaine mentioned that the priests were the Levites. They were the ones who looked after the temple and did the sacrifices. The Sadducees, that we sometimes read about, were the kind of aristocratic royal people. They were religious, but they tended to be the kind of nobility of the Jewish. But the Pharisees, they were the ones who looked at the law and kind of analysed it in every word and really went into it and said, this is what we have to do to be righteous. And when they looked at the law, they looked at the written law, which they called the Torah, T-O-R-A-H, which is actually 24 books of the Old Testament. It's the first five and then 19 prophets. And within that, they found 613 commandments from God. And then they analysed those 613 as what they called the oral Torah. This was the verbal instructions that were passed on from rabbi to rabbi, Pharisee to Pharisee. And that was called the Talmud. And the combination of the Torah and the Talmud were the way the Jews had to live. So can you imagine that? 613 laws you have to keep. And if that's not enough, you then have all this oral tradition that's passed down that explains that. When that was finally written by a rabbi at about 500 years after Jesus, it was 50 volumes of books to write down the oral tradition. That's the yoke he's talking about. That's what people had to do to be right before God. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Don't have that heavy burden upon you. That's the context for what we're now going to read about in chapter 12. So just before we start, the context is we're not to come as clever religious people who have looked at all this legal stuff like the Pharisees. We're to come as children. We're not to come with all the burden of the law and righteous acts and the things we have to do. But rather we're to rest in Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we do come now and we want to come into your presence. We want to know you. We want you to speak to our hearts. We come with all the things of the day, all the burdens of the week, all the issues we have in life, and we claim that promise that you will give us rest. But we do thank you for your love. we thank you that we can be righteous in you by coming to you, and that we don't have to obey 600 commands and all the traditions of religion. Father, we come as children and ask that you would now speak to us for your glory and for your kingdom. Amen. So let's now look at chapter 12 and see what Jesus, or what's been talked about, what we're to learn after those verses that we've just had. So at around that time, Jesus is walking, he's going through some fields with his disciples, and it happens to be the Sabbath. And the disciples take some of the ears of corn and start eating them. And the Pharisees who are there say, "Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." That is, they're doing work on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees are the accusers in the dock of the disciples. They've broken the law, and Jesus is there. And the Pharisees are challenging Jesus. And Jesus replies, "Haven't you read in the scriptures, in the Torah, that David, with his soldiers, went into the temple, went into the holy place where only priests, Levites, can go, and took off the table the holy sacred bread, the show bread, that only priests can eat? This was 12 loaves of bread, one for each tribe of Israel," or it represented one for each tribe of Israel. They were big loaves, but they were only to be eaten by the Levites, and they were put there each day. And David and his soldiers go into the holy place, they're not allowed in there, and they eat this bread that they're not allowed. And he's saying, "You know those scriptures, that was okay with God. God allowed that, so what are you on about?" And then he goes on, okay, the Sabbath is about doing no work, but the Levites, the priests, they work on the Sabbath. They look after all the sacrifices and do everything. But God accepts that. So your own Torah tells you that, but you choose not to look at these things. So he uses their own knowledge, religion, to kind of show them that their hearts are wrong. They're going by the letter of the law, but not by the heart of what the Sabbath is meant to be about. And he sums that up at the end of that section in verse 7, "You would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of the scripture, 'I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice.'" So what does sacrifice kind of mean? What's the meaning of that there? The meaning of sacrifice is the law. It's everything we have to do to be right. And the meaning of mercy is grace. So he's saying, God, although there is the law, looks at us with grace. And you Pharisees, you need to follow God. And don't have everything about sacrifice, the law, you have to do this and this. But you should show mercy as well, the way God shows it to you. Do unto others as God is doing to you. So having answered that first bit, we then go on in verse 9. Jesus then went into a synagogue, and it's still the Sabbath, and he noticed a man with a deformed hand, and the Pharisee said, "Does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath?" Here's a man with a deformed hand, it's the Sabbath, they're in the church, and the Pharisees say, "Are you allowed to heal that man?" They're testing him. They're hoping he'll say yes, because then they're going to say, "No, you're not. That's breaking the Sabbath." And Jesus replies, "If you had a sheep and it fell into a well on a Sabbath, you'd go and rescue it." And people are far more important to God than sheep. And he maybe used that analogy of the sheep because he is the good shepherd. And people are far more important to him than the letter of the law. So he's saying, I'm here to save the sheep, just like you would save your physical sheep. I'm here to save people. And yes, it is okay to heal. Actually, within the law, it was that you were allowed to do work on the Sabbath to save life. That was allowed. So in some ways, Jesus is expanding that and saying, my work is to save life, to save the lives of the people, and I can do that on the Sabbath. So that's the scriptures that we've got. That's the context of that. And I want to go on now and kind of talk about two things that may apply to us in thinking about these scriptures today. And the first is the relevance of the Sabbath to us. So is it relevant? And first of all, I want to ask you, when did the Sabbath start? I'm expecting Martin to give me the answer. He's right. So the Sabbath is when the sun goes down on a Friday until when the sun goes down on a Saturday. That's the day of the Sabbath. It's not a Sunday. Right? It's Friday evening to Saturday evening. That's the Sabbath. Okay, let me put the question again. When was it established? When did God establish the Sabbath with people? Genesis chapter 2, he works for 6 days, and on the seventh, he rests. That is, God establishes the Sabbath for himself. But when did he tell people you have to keep it? He didn't tell Adam he had to keep it. Well, that's creation, but he didn't tell Adam to keep the Sabbath. He didn't tell Abraham to keep the Sabbath. Moses. Right? No. That's what I... it's what I've always wanted to do, get Martin on the Bible. That's what I thought it was. So the whole of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all that, there's no Sabbath. You won't read about Sabbath in Genesis apart from God's Sabbath. But otherwise it's not there. The Sabbath comes with Moses. And remember, they've been in Egypt for 400 years. And Moses comes at the end of that time. So this is a long time on. And actually, it doesn't come with the Ten Commandments. It comes when if you remember the story, they've been in Egypt and they come out of Egypt. They're brought out of Egypt. He delivers his people from slavery. He delivers them from works, right, that they're doing 7 days a week for the Egyptians. And he brings them out and he says, I'm taking you into the promised land. And it would have taken them 10 days to go there. And he tells them, go in. And they send out spies. And the spies come back. And 10 of the spies say, full of giants, we can't get in there. And 2 spies said, yeah, we can get in there because God is with us. And what do they choose to do? Not go in. They disobey God. And they go into the wilderness and spend 40 years in the wilderness. And the whole of that generation dies. Because they disobey God, he brought them out of works and slavery to go into the land of rest, the promised land, and they didn't believe him. And spent 40 years in the wilderness. In the wilderness, there is no food, and he gives them manna. And for that manna, he says, every morning you will collect it for 6 days. But on the sixth day, you will collect enough for 2 days, because on the seventh day, there will not be any. It's a day of rest. And that's the Sabbath. That's where it comes from. It's the provision of God with food, with bread, in the wilderness because of their disobedience. And he then writes it in stone, which is the Ten Commandments. So that's when it came. Who did it come to? The Jews, the people of God in the wilderness. If you look at the New Testament, It's never once said for Gentile Christians to keep the Sabbath. Jesus never says to do it. Paul never says to do it. And there's actually a point in Acts where Gentiles are becoming Christians, and the question is, do they have to keep the Jewish traditions? Do they have to be circumcised like the Jews in order to be Christians? It was a big debate in the early church. And the church has a meeting about it. Acts 15, it says, the only thing Gentiles are to do when they become Christians is to not eat food offered to idols. They don't have to be circumcised, nor do they have to keep the Sabbath. So why was the Sabbath there? Why was it put there? I think there's three reasons. One, it's to remind us of the creation. Right, that God created everything and now he's resting. But he's the creator. Second, it was to remind the Jews of the deliverance from slavery. The deliverance from works. Right, that they'd been brought out of Egypt. And third, it was one of the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments are about our love and respect towards God. Don't take his name in vain, have no other idols, there is only one God. And the last six commandments are our relationship to each other. Honour your father and mother, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet. And Jesus summed them up when he was asked, what's the greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart, love your neighbour as yourself. So Jesus was bringing the commandments together and saying, that's what we're to do. But in the middle of them is this Sabbath one, to rest. Let me read to you what that command is, because then I think you will see that it might be more than what we think it is. So this is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It's the fourth commandment. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your house may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and set it apart as holy. That is to do nothing, but not just me, the whole of my household. It was a very kind of strong thing of remembering what God had done and keeping it holy for the Jewish people. Three things happen between the 9 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service, as I kind of talked to people. I spoke to George about the Sabbath. He said, are we to keep the Sabbath as Christians? And I said, we are not under the law anymore. So the idea that we have to keep the Sabbath in order to be righteous before God, like the Jews had to, is not for us. And the Sabbath, remember, was Friday to Saturday. And then George said, that's right. He said, but we are told to assemble together, to come together as Christians. But we do that on Sunday, because that's the first day of the week. It's the resurrection day. It's the resurrection day, not the crucifixion day, the Sabbath. We have died, right, to the law of which the Sabbath is part. And we are alive in Jesus for our new life going forward. And when we come together on a Sunday, it's to celebrate that life going forward, not to celebrate the law and the death behind. So when we think of Sunday, we should think of this life and going forward rather than doing something that we ought to do. That is, we ought to go to church on Sunday. That's the legalism. That's the law. That's gone. It's past. That's the bit about the Sabbath. So just to sum up, the one thing of the Sabbath was it was about rest and it was about being holy. That's what God clearly said. To rest and to be holy. Now the second thing that I want to go on to is chapter 12, verse 8. Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. So Jesus is saying, I am Lord over the Sabbath. I am Lord over rest. And I am Lord over being holy. The Sabbath was about rest to show, to be separate and to be holy for God. And Jesus is saying, I am over that. He fulfills the Sabbath. He completes it. So it's in that context now of those verses, I want us to go back to what Jesus had said a few verses before, which was, come unto me, all who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So let's just think about those words. First of all, it's Jesus speaking, and the verb is come to me. And who does he ask to come to him? All who have heavy burdens or who are weary. Let me say something before I go on. As a Christian, I don't have any problem believing that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I can believe that every day without any trouble. I believe Jesus rose from the dead and is alive. What I find difficult is every day to live in that fact. I can live in forgiveness of sin every day, but the challenge to live in the life of Jesus and that rest that he gives us every day is what I find difficult. But that's what he says here. Come to me, all who have heavy burdens are weary, and I will give you rest. And that's every day. So the question I would ask of us all is, do we have those heavy burdens? And they may come in different forms. It may be that you feel guilty about something. And there's something in your life that you just feel guilty about. And that it continues to be a burden. And Jesus says, come, I will give you rest. He gives forgiveness of sin. Once and for all, done. The guilt is over. Don't dwell on it, come. And lay that burden down. It may be that we are Christians and that we've asked Jesus to be our Lord and Saviour, and yet still there are things in our lives that are not right. Maybe there's some addiction. There's something you just can't say no to and you know it's wrong. And what Jesus says is, come. You will find it difficult to say no, but bring that burden to me. And rest in me and let me deal with it. He's not telling us to work at it. He's telling us to leave it with him. We can try all we want to stop breaking addictions, and I tell you, we will fail in our own strength. We need to bring it to Jesus and say, Lord, I rest, I leave it with you. I claim that promise. Or we may have worries and anxieties. There's things we have to do. Work. Things at work. Targets we have to meet. Key performance indicators. All the stressful things of work and so on. And Jesus says, come, leave those burdens with me. It doesn't mean they disappear. It means he will carry them with us. We don't have to carry them alone. In fact, to try and take them alone is to sin. It's not accepting his rest. It's not accepting the new life we have in him. Or we may have illnesses. Some maybe depression or anxiety or a physical illness that we're worried about. Jesus healed the blind, made the blind see, made the lame walk, even rose those from the dead. It's not that he will heal every illness. We all have to die sometime. But what he does say is, bring your illness to me and rest in me. And I will deal with it. I will help you with it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful promise if we can move from the forgiveness of sins on Good Friday to the Sunday, right, away from that Sabbath legalism, to the Sunday, and start living in Jesus each day. And it's every day. We don't come once and that's it. We come every day and say, Lord, I want to know your rest today. I want to be with you today in what I do. I want to read one other bit about why we may not do it, why we struggle. And I'm reading from Hebrews 4, verse 9. So the writer of the Hebrews says this, so there is a rest still waiting for the people of God. That's talking to us, not the Jews. This is to Christians. There is a rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labours, just as God did after creating the world. Do you know our good Christian works can be labours? They can be burdens if we're not doing them with Jesus. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labours just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. We almost have to work at entering the rest. Let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did in the wilderness, we will fall. And just before that, at the end of chapter 3, verse 19, the writer says, so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Why do we struggle with it? We struggle with it because we don't believe. We believe our sins are forgiven. But sometimes we struggle to believe today that we can live today in the power of the Holy Spirit and to know the rest that we have in Jesus. And that's every day. And we have to exercise that belief and trust daily, every day. I'm going to finish with a prayer. Let me just say this. If you've never in your life come to Jesus and had that thing of laying your burdens, laying your guilt, and knowing the rest of Jesus in your life, and you want to, then please see Peter or myself at the end of the service and just say, that spoke to me. I want to know that rest. Most of us at some point will have made a commitment to Jesus. We know his forgiveness in our lives, but sometimes we struggle living that life day by day. Don't accept plastic Christianity. Go for the real thing. Let's pray. I believe that there is a rest which it is God's will for me to enter. I recognise that the great hindrance is belief in myself and not in God. I confess all my unbelief as sin, and I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I determine to rest from my own works, and I determine to do the work God has for me. For all this, I don't rely on my own strengths and abilities. I do rely on God's grace in Jesus Christ, my Saviour and High Priest. Amen.